we are continuing our journey through the letters of the Aleph-Bays. Does anyone remember where we're up to?
Ches.
Today we're up to Ches. Okay, very good. The eighth letter of the Aleph-Bays, the letter Ches. Okay, the first thing we have to lay out a very important yisod. I'm sure you're all very well aware that in Sefer Torah, Ches looks very different than the way we have it printed in the Siddur. So what is it? So it's the difference between the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. There are two very popular scripts in the Sefer Torah, Ksav HaShuris. Most of us here, I would assume, how you have Ksav Beis Yosef in your Tzillin, which means the two Zions. Okay, a Ches is made from two Zions. And the Ksav Ari, which is a more Nusach Svart. Typically, if you daven Nusach Svart, if you're a real Nusach Svart type of person, you daven a Nusach Svart shul, and you wear a strangle and a bekesha, or a daven a shtibul, you have that tradition, so your tzulim will be Ksav Ariza. Oriental Svart would be Ksav Vilish. There's something completely different, entirely different, called Ksav Vilish. There's an entirely different Ksav, called Vilish Ksav, but the real Svardim, and that's also different. That's very different. So there are three. You're right. There are three in the big picture of things in the circulation. There are three fonts.
So they would go to their own sofa. They would go to one of ours.
Absolutely, 100%. A Sfardi, a real Sfardi, will have the tzil be written Ksav Vilish.
Real Sfardi. Vilish is like they have in the Chumash.
No,
because they have the ones with the boxes.
Right, you know, right. Ksav Vilish. No, it looks. It's similar to Ksav HaShuris. I mean, it is Ksav HaShuris, the Beis Yosef, but it's a little bit more. There are different differences. It's roundish. I don't know the exact pratim. I'm more familiar with the Ksav Beis Yosef. I spent a lot of time learning Ksav Beis Yosef, not Ksav HaShuris. Everything's all just a little different. But Vilish is an entirely different Ksav for the real Sfardim. But let's focus now on the Ksav of. Arizal and the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is two Zions, and Arizal it's a Vav and a Zion. Most people that came and told them, you show them a Sefer Torah that's Ksav Ari, they don't even know the difference. It's Ksav Ari, Ksav Beis Yosef, they can't tell them. They'll show them Ksav Vilish, they already detect, no, this is not what I'm used to. This is something a little bit different. A little bit different. Okay, but what's the significance of there being two Zions? So we once discussed this. The letter Ches represents the concept of Lemala Miderech HaTeva. We know that we have 7 days of the week. Everything in this world in Teva is in nature is seven. When you want to go Lemala Miderech HaTeva, then you go in eight. Oh, eight is Lemala Miderech HaTeva. Chanukah. There are 8 days of Chanukah. Chanukah is miracles. The Shemen lasted for 8 days. When you want to focus on a Bris Milah, you want to get its Kedusha Lemala. But Ches also represents the perfection or Teva in action. What do I mean Teva in action? Nature has 7 days. What's the eighth day of the week? What's the eighth day? Sunday. What happens on Sunday? You go back. You go back and you start again. The number eight represents the return, the cycle. It represents cycles. What is eight? It is the connection of one set of seven to the next set of seven. Ches represents the connection between a set of seven and another set of seven. The eighth day of the week is when you return and you repeat another cycle of seven. That's why there are two Zions in the letter Ches. That's one approach. Now in the Torah there's a word called Choch. It's always very interesting to see what the letters themselves are. Choch vodas. What is a choch? Choch is a chain that goes around the neck of an animal. It's something which always is a hook. Even though we have the word vav, vav is a hook. But choch is also a hook. It's a more elaborate type of hook. We have a hook, a chikah. You have a lot of the letter ches. many very, very, very many in all different types of hooks. There's a hook to catch a fish, there are hooks for birds. They all have the ches. The ches is pronounced, it's emphasized in all of these words. And it comes from the word choch, choch vonezim. The ultimate choch is a certain type of chain which serves as a holder for a cow, for a very large animal. Choch. And that's where the letter Choch comes from. Okay, whatever that means, I'm not exactly sure the significance of that. Now, in the Gemara, we have to go to, it's always important to go and focus on the basics. In the Gemara Darshan is the letter of the Aleph. And whatever the Gemara tells us obviously represents, this is the essence of the letter. So, Aleph Beis, the Gemara says, Aloif, to learn Torah. Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalim. Hevav, Zoshmo, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. Zayin, Imata Oisakein. If you'll be kind to the poor, then Hashem, Zon Oscha. Hashem will provide you with sustenance, which we discussed. V'chon oischa, will be gracious to you. Chain. The letter Ches in the Talmud is identified with the concept of grace. Chain. V'noyach motza chain v'inei elokin. Chain means favor. It comes from the word chinam. Why do you like someone? He gave you money. He gave you covet. You like him because you like him. That's the nature. Chain means a person who finds chain in your eyes. I can't tell you a reason why I like him. I just like him. That's what chain is. That represents the concept of the letter chain. Okay. Now, ches also, even though ches represents chain, and ches is a hook, chain or the letter ches also is associated with the word life, chayim. Right. Now, why is chayim? Because what is? It's always important to focus on how the letter is spelled. Ches. How do you spell ches? Ches yud sof. Ches. Ches yud sof can be read chiyus. There are three letters. Ches. Chiyus means life. And it doesn't just mean life, it means the essence of life. Chayim means life. Chiyus means you're alive. Right? Chayim can be like you know, you put it on the shelf. Oh, there's something called chayim. It's on the shelf. Chiyus means you're a practitioner of chayim. The chiyus. So the letter ches, the essence of the letter ches also represents the idea of life, chiyus. What else is ches? Ches also the chitas. Ches and a sof. Chet. It's the word chitas means dread. It means fear, terror. Chitas. What are we afraid of? Hashem. And so actually it's a pasuk in Mishlei that Yiras Hashem lechayim. Fear of Hashem for life. The two go hand in hand. Ches is chiyus, and it also literally means dread. Chas. Ches. Chas is chitas. Chas. Well, that's chas, that's a samach. But chat. Chat, chitas. There's a word called chitas. Chitas means dread. Chitas Elokim, they were terrified of Hashem. Chitas. That comes from the word of chat. Chat literally means dread. So you look at this, you have letter ches, it can be read chiyus, and it can be read chat. One word means fear of Hashem, and one word means life. And the truth is, the pasuk in Mishlei, which puts the two together and says, Yiras Hashem l'chayim. Fear of life brings to life. So it's really two sides of the same coin. Ches has both of these concepts in the actual letter itself, in the actual spelling of the letter, which expresses the idea that the real life in this world only exists, only comes when we fear Hashem. Now, ches also represents the idea of chet, and in fact, there's a Chazal that says Al tikre ches ela chet. If you put a dot in the sof, right? Ches, ches yud tof. The way you spell chet is with a tof. I'm sorry, with a tes. Chet, the tes. However, the sound of the tes and the sound of the tof is almost identical for us at least. So the Gemara, that was a Gemara. It's a Chazal. I don't know where this Chazal is. I saw this put down in Yechiel Michel Stern Sefer. Al tikre ches ela chet, sin. Why is ches mean sin? It represents the way it's the way it looks. You have a bar, right, like a zayin, and then it wiggles. It wiggles up, goes up. and then there's another Zayin. That represents instability. A choite, one who sins, a sinner, is a person that by nature is not stable. One day he's good, he's not good. He's searching to find himself. The way the mark of the ches, the line of the ches on top, as it's flat, goes up and comes down, and then there's really another little thing which goes up. That's the tag. That represents the essence of a choite, a person who's not stable. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this idea is a very beautiful idea. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. Very, extremely deep. Let me read you a pasuk in the Torah. It says, there's darkness. Okay, the first ches is choshech, but that's not what we want to focus on. Then the pasuk says something that is very mystical. This is one of the most mystical concepts in Kabbalah. We don't learn Kabbalah, but if you ever learn Kabbalah, you'll come across this idea, and this is like the ABC of Kabbalah. Okay, Kabbalah for beginners. 101. Remedial Kabbalah. What does it say here? V'ruach Elokim mirachefes al pnei hamayim. The first time that we are introduced to the spirit of Hashem, the Shechina in the Torah, is in the pasuk. The spirit of Hashem is mirachefes. It hovers, and this really is the essence of the Shechina. The Shechina in this world is hovering. It's extremely delicate. If we're worthy, it's right there for us. If we're not worthy, it disappears. It's not grounded. It's not chained to this world. It's delicate. It's hovering. It wants to be part of us, but we have to be receptacles. We have to be worthy of receiving the Shechina. The Ruach Elohim mirachefes al pnei hamayim. It was hovering over the water. Now the word of them that describes this concept of mirachefes is mirachefes. And the middle of the word is the letter ches. Now these are very Kabbalistic ideas, but I want to bring out one little point which I think is a beautiful idea. But the middle of the word is mirachefes. The ches in the world of Kabbalah is unique in that it has this hunch, this chatoitras. You have two zions, and you have this hump which connects it. This crown, without a really crown, it's just a bridge. This bridge represents the concept of hover. It's the only letter that has such a concept. All letters there's no hump. You have a letter lamed. You have a whole branch that goes up. It's not a hump. It's part of the letter itself. You have tagim, little zayins. The only letter that has this concept of this hump, it's called a hump. It's a hump which lies on the back of the top of the ches, is the letter ches. And that is symbolic of the concept called mirachefes, that the Shechina of Hashem hovers over this world, and that's why it's the middle letter of the word mirachefes. Hashem's Shechina in this world is described as mirachefes, and the center of this word mirachefes, all the letters are flat on top, is this little hump, because that's really what the Shechina is doing, it's humping over this world. Now let's focus on the Arizal. The Arizal says that the ches in the Sefer Torah is a vav and a zayin. So basically the idea is the letter vav represents the concept of gashmius. Sheishes yomim tavol. Work for 6 days. For 6 days of the week, engage in material pursuits. Gashmius. That's the letter vav. Vav is the oilum gashmi. You gotta work. You gotta make a parnasa. 6 days a week. Involve yourself in the mundane activities of this world. Shabbos. Zayin. Shabbos, you don't work on Shabbos. Shabbos is holy for Hashem. The Zion represents spirituality. Okay, so what's the letter Ches? A Vav and a Zion. Vav is Gashmius. Zion is Kula Ruchnius. Shabbos la Hashem. What is the Ches? What's the hump is the Shechina. Where is the Shechina rest in this world? In the synthesis of Ruchnius and Gashmius. Man's role, his mission in this world, is to synthesize ruchnius and gashmius. When you eat a piece of the big picture of things, get the big, big picture, you work 6 days a week, and Shabbos you rest. Okay. But on the little, the smaller picture, and the more you go into more detail, everything you really do in this world really is a combination of ruchnius and gashmius. You eat food, before you eat the food, you make a bracha. Go to the Beis HaKisa, you do something which is kula gashmi, you make a bracha when you come out of the Beis HaKisa. Everything, the person's role in this world is to synthesize, to bring that vav and connect the vav with the zayin, to bring together ruchnius and gashmius. And when you do that, that's where you bring the shechina, the divine presence of the Shbaruch Hu. That's where you'll find Hashem being mirachefes. Hashem's presence will then hover over you. That's where the Shechina is found in this synthesis. Now I'll just tell you another very beautiful idea. The word Merachefes is Bigamatria 728. Right? 728 is the gamach of Merachefes. The Saf is 400, the Pei is 80, the Reish is 200, and then the 40 and 8, you get the grand total of 728. Now, there's a pasuk, the number 728 is 26 times 28. 26 multiplied by 28 gives you 728, correct? Right? Try it. V'ata yigdal, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'ata yigdal no koyach Hashem. When Klal Yisrael Moshe asked Hashem, don't leave us, don't, your Shechina should not depart, don't leave us, just because we worship the eagle, so what? The atoy yigdal na koyach Hashem. Koyach Hashem, the koyach of Hashem is yudkei vavkei, is 26, koyach is 28. Nirachefes represents, it's an incredibly beautiful concept. Hashem Shechina hovers very delicately, very like a mother bird over her eggs. Very don't crash, don't disappear. Very delicate. Merachefes. What's merachefes? You combine the vav and the gashmis and the ruchnius. What is that? That's the koyach Hashem, and that's what we want. Yigdal no koyach Hashem. The multiplication of these two concepts brings 728. Okay, so that's the basic idea. Now this is going to blow you away. This blew me away. Go to a wedding, and the chassan and kali march down. First comes chassan. Baruch haba. Then comes the kala, brucha, haba, haba. Kala comes, and then everyone, and then you have the whole. And we are there under this beautiful chuppah. What is chuppah? Chuppah is the word. Chuppah means a canopy. It's a canopy. But chuppah is ches po. Three letters. Ches pei hei. The ches is here. Ches. So when you go to a wedding and you see the chasen kal under the chuppah and they call up the rabbi to make the brachas, what are you witnessing? You are witnessing the letter ches is po. Because the whole idea of a Jewish wedding, okay, this is very deep, okay, we're not to go into all the details, the chasen and kala, the synthesis of chasen and kala in the bigger picture of things represents the combination of the vav and the zayin. The chassan is the vav. He's expected to go out there and make a good parnasa. You go out there, he's the vav. He is the man who makes the parnasa, the vav. He's the isha gashmi. And the wife is supposed to be the ikeres habayis. She is the one that provides spirituality. She is there. Zayin is zonis. When her schus comes parnasa, she is his weapon. They're alive. Okay, I don't think these are very mystical things, but in the big picture of things, a wedding is where the chassan and kala come together, the vav comes together with the zayin. Ish v'isha shalom b'neihem, shechina b'neihem. Their shechina is there. The ruach elokim merachefes. Chupa is the concept. This has to be, you know, calibrated and worked out very well, this drasha, but it's a beautiful idea. If I'm not mistaken, it comes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm not mistaken. I don't know exactly. Some of the things I forced from it, I used to pair this. Rabbi Chaim Michael Stern, And they have the Sefer from Lubavitcher. It's all Lubavitcher Torah. And then I use the art scroll book on the Aleph base. And the fourth book is Godol V'Katan, an incredible Sefer which has every big and small letter in the whole Tanakh and tells you the significance. So this comes from Lubavitcher Torah, and it doesn't say where it comes from, but it's Lubavitcher. I don't know if it's Lubavitcher Rebbe, it could be the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, but it's Lubavitcher Torah. Ches Po. Okay, so let's review this as a beautiful idea. We have the letter Ches. The Ches in the Olam of Kabbalah is the Pasuk V'ruachim Rachefes Al Pnei Hamayim. Hashem hovers. The Ches has the Chatoitrois, the Vav and the Zayin, to synthesize Ruchnius and Gashmius. A wedding, the Chosan is the Vav, the Kala is the Zayin, under the Chuppah. He says under the Chuppah. Ches. Paul, the Ches is over here. It's the Gematria 728. 728 is when Moshe said to Ribbono Shel, don't leave us. V'ata yigdal na koyach Hashem. Koyach Hashem is Yudke Vavke 26 multiplied by koyach. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. We're running out of time. Another idea. In the Torah, four times does the Torah tell us to circumcise ourselves. Four different types of circumcisions. There's the Arlas Habasar, Bris Mila, right? Everyone knows that, Arlas Habasar. I don't have the Pesukim, I didn't have a chance to go find all the Pesukim. I vaguely remember this from Chanukah, I think I still in Chanukah, but there are four Pesukim that talk about Arlas. There's a Pesukim in Torah that tells you Arlas Levavchem, circumcise your hearts. It's somewhere in Devarim, right? Arlas Levavchem. Okay, there's another Pesukim that says circumcise your ears. It's a Pesukim. Circumcise your ears, remove your stubborn haskes, listen and certain. Remove the orla from your ears. And there's another pasuk that says circumcise your lips. Okay, I have to find this. Aral sefasayim. Okay, and there are four psukim.
This is
parasha. For era. Aral sefasayim. Okay, aral sefasayim. There are four psukim that there's a reference to the word orla, foreskin, in four psukim: lips, heart, skin, and ears. So it's brought down. I don't know who says this. I do not know who says that all of these, when do you circumcise these four parts of your body? They all take place on the eighth day. What do we mean? A bris milah, we know. Everyone knows that. Bris milah, the skin, the arlov of the basar, is the eighth day. Who doesn't know that? What about the heart? So that's a little more difficult. The heart takes place on Yom Kippur. Why? It's a Mishnah in the first Mishnah, Masechta Yoma. The first Mishnah says 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrish and Kohen Gadol, he was sequestered for 7 days. The Kohen Gadol is the representative of the entire Klal Yisrael, who goes Lefnai V'Lefnim. On the eighth day from him being sequestered is when he enters Lefnai V'Lefnim to bring atonement and to remove the foreskin from our hearts. So the Kohen Gadol goes in Lefnayev Lefnim on the eighth day since he was sequestered. 7 days before Yom Kippur he's sequestered. Yom Kippur is his eighth day of being sequestered, and then he goes in to be removed the foreskin of our hearts, Arlas Levavcha. Now what about the pad, the lips? Arlas Sefasayim, the lips? Chanukah. Chanukah, Zois Chanukah. Chanukah, we sing Shira. For 8 days we give Shira in order to remove the foreskin from our lips. And what about the last one, the foreskin of the ears? Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is Simchas Torah. When you finish the Torah, when you finish listening to the entire Torah, Haskes is Shema Yisrael. That's what Shmini Atzeres is all about. It's to learn Torah. Learning Torah is called listening. Shema Yisrael. And that takes place, the completion, the climax, the apex of listening takes place on, you listen to Kriyas HaTorah, the whole Shabbos, the whole year round, you listen to Torah. Every Shabbos. When do you finish listening to the Torah? On Shemini Atzeres, on the eighth day. So another very beautiful, now all of these are merumas, if you don't remember, in the word Echad. Echad is everything is for Hashem, Ches on the eighth day, the four things, the four arlos, the four foreskins. The foreskin of the heart, Yom Kippur, the foreskin of the lips, Chanukah, the foreskin of the ears, Shemini Atzeres, and the foreskin of the flesh, the eighth day of Bris Milah. Okay, now let me tell you another avart. Talmud Chacham has to have a little gaiva, shtickle gaiva, right? Shtickle gaiva. How much gaiva? Even though it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Perek, me'oid me'oid have shval ruach. You're not allowed to be an extremist. The only thing allowed to be an extremist when it comes to hanava. Then you have to, but even though you're an extremist, don't go to mamish, don't go off the deep end. 1/64th. You're allowed to have a six, whatever, I don't know what that means exactly. 1/64th gaiva you're allowed to have. You're mechuyev to have a shtickle gaiva, no one should step on you a little bit, a teeny teeny mashu. Where do you find this? You find this in the 8th parsha of the Torah. What's the 8th parsha of the Torah?
Vayishlach.
What's the 8th pasuk? The 8th pasuk is Katointi mikol hachasadim mikol emes asher asid sesavdech ki v'mak liyavarete yesayardin hazeh. So, katointi is anova. It's humility. Yaakov Avinu said, "Katointi, I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing." But Yaakov Avinu's statement that I'm a nothing is found in the 8th parsha, the 8th pasuk. To be merames, even though Yaakov Avinu said I'm a nothing, there has to be epis a shtickle gaiva, eight of it. Now I don't know what this means. You have to just keep this in mind because there's a whole machlokes. What's the proper trop for the word katonti? Katonti asla gerish, right? Asla gerish. But there are other revi. So I don't know what this means, but there's some connection that there's a proof that it should be a revi. I don't get how revi, a quarter, has to do with 1/64th. Maybe you have some mathematical formula, revi. Fourth to the third power. Yes. What does the third power have to do with? Fourth. I don't know. There's some mathematical formula they want to prove for me. A very big medactic once told me this. He told me, when he told me, I understood it. But I was trying to recall from memory. I have no clue. I don't remember. That is a raya. It's supposed to be a revi. Katointi, not like we say, katointi, shri katointi, a revi. Because it's the shminisha, but shminis is the 8th parsha and the 8th pasuk. You figure this out. Some mathematical formula. Okay, another very nice example, Loremes, that they have to have a little gaiva. Chazal tells that Hashem, when he wanted to give the Torah, he went to all the mountains. And he said, "No, you all bunch of bali gaiva. I'm not giving it to any of you now. I'm going to give it to a small mountain. I'm going to give it to Har Sinai." First, he learned from there, Hashem gave it on a mountain. Hashem didn't give it to the Torah in a ditch. Because you have to have a shtickle gaiva. But Har Sinai was the smallest of the mountains. Now, how do we know this idea 1/64th? Because Chazal tells us that Har Tovar was one of the candidates. Hashem rejected Har Tovar because it was too much of a bal gaiva. The Har Tovar, Chazal explicitly tell us the height. If you want to walk up to Har Tovar, you have to walk up 4 parsa to get to the top of the mountain. 4 parsa, it's a gemara somewhere. How much is a parsa? 1 parsa is a mil. How much is a mil? Is a mil. So if it's 4, each parsa has 4 mil, 4 times 4, it's 16 mil. If you want to travel from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain, you have to travel 16 mil. You have to have 4 parsa. Each parsa has 4 mil, so 4 times 4 is 16 mil. How many amos are there in a mil? 2,000 amos. So what is 2,000 multiplied by 16? 32,000 amos. It's a lot of amos to go travel there. 32,000 amos to get to the top of the mountain. Rashi and Tosis both say together the height of Har Sinai. How they know this? The height of Har Sinai. The height. Moshe Rabbeinu, all these halachos. Moshe went Hagbala. Don't come to the mountain. Moshe went to the mountain. I don't know where they come. It must come from somewhere. And Moshe Rabbeinu traveled top of Har Sinai. It's a height of 500 amos to the top of Har Sinai. 500 relative to 32,000 is 1/64th. Chazal said that you have to be a shminis shebish. One, the ultimate of gaiva is har tovar. Hashem said, "I'm not giving the Torah in har tovar. You're a bal gaiva. You're too tall. You're too much of a bal gaiva. I'm going to give it on har Sinai." Har tovar, 4 parsa. Parsa, 4 mil. 4 mil, a mil, 2,000. 2,000 times 16. 32,000. How high is Har Sinai? Rashi and Tosfos, they will say it was 500 to 32,000 is 1/64th. The Mela, you see over here, remnants of Shminis Sheb Shminis. Okay, let me tell you now just something very short. That a Zion remnant is a weapon. That the whole world is at war with each other. The whole world, the default if it is chaos. That's a metzius. In science, that's a metzius. Everything in this world is in a state of chaos. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu that keeps everyone calm. You see that in the letter Zion. The Chatoitos, that Hom, that we explained, is the Ruach HaMerachefes. What is the Merachefes upon? Anton Zutu Zions. What is a Zion? A weapon. If you let everyone fall to their natural default, they would destroy the world. Zions, signs of weapons, they would conquer and destroy the world. There would be world wars. It's only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merachefes on the Zions, on the wars, on the world, on the nations that are constantly at war. Are we held in check? Are we safe? Many things in Chazal are eight. The end of Hallel, you have to remember this. Every time you say Hallel, coming up the Shabbos, the end of Hallel, you praise Hashem with eight expressions. Berina, with song, Yoidu, Vivoruchu, Vishabuchu, Vifaru, Vidroimimu, Viaritsu, Viagdishu, Viamlichu. Eight expressions. Everything in praise Hashem is eight. When you daven for Torah, the same in Lehovin, Ulahaskil, Lishmoya, Lilmoid, Ulalamed, Lishmar, Vilasos, Ulakayim. Always been mispalo with the number eight. Eight is a magical number when it comes to the koyach of tefillah. Now Chazal, another very important thing about eight is that, you know, we have the famous Mizma Kuf Yutes. All the letters of the Aleph Beis appear in Kuf Yutes. How many times? Eight times. So obviously when you play with the letter of the Aleph Beis, eight represents something very significant. Eight. In the Gemara we have this idea that many people were not able to pronounce the letter Ches. It's a very interesting idea. The Ches was a very letter that's hard to pronounce. And I think in the alphabet there's no Ches. Right? In the English alphabet there's no Ches. There's no sound for the letter Ches. Every class has CH. You have CH. Or you have an H with a dot on top. How do you spell Chaim? Right? So today everyone spells it CH, Chaim. Years ago in the old English, Chaim with a dot on top. A dot on top makes the H into Chaim. I remember my father's Horn of Ruch in his books, he used to be really into this, naming the H's, all the H's. My father first started publishing years ago, so it was always the H's with the dots. And it was always such a big issue because they didn't have the technology in those days, years ago, with the dots, the H with the dots. Years later, my father completely gave up on the dots. either just Chaim, or a lot of things he switched over because the whole standard became different. Even among the more CH Chaim, there is no letter. It's a very interesting idea. There is no letter Ches in the English in many languages because why? It appears people could not pronounce the letter Ches.
The Spanish.
Yeah.
Some Spanish J is pronounced.
J.
Yeah. Oh, it's a hey. They can't pronounce.
People are not Jewish. When they start Spanish, they have trouble saying the ha. The gutter will
say. Oh, they can't say it. Ha. For us, it's nothing. It's no big deal. Ha. Why do they have such a hard time? I don't know. But
Yiddish has no ches either, except for words written in Hebrew. In other words, you say chaylek, there'll be a ches lamed kuf.
Yeah.
You cannot say, if you say Khrushchev, you say with a kaf.
Yeah, yeah.
Substitute the
with a
kaf.
With a Q?
No, Khrushchev.
All right, whatever. In the Gemara records there were many Talmidechim that couldn't say the letter Ches. For example, they would say, they would make fun, they would say, when you come to the pasuk, V'chikisi l'Hashem, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia could not say his own name. His name was Chia. He couldn't say, he said Ia. With an ayin. He couldn't pronounce his own name. So they said, well, you come and you say the word in the pasuk in Tehillim, V'chikisi l'Hashem. I yearn for Hashem. V'chikisi. So he would say, V'chikisi. I will hit Hashem. You're not be cursed. I'm going to hit Hashem.
These people eat challah every week.
Oh, exactly. So in the Gemara, there are many examples. I don't have all the examples in front of me, but there are a number of examples in the Gemara where you have Amoraim complaining to each other that you can't even talk. There's certain things they had to put in writing because because they could not pronounce the word, and if they would say it the way it said, they would pronounce the way they read it, they would have an entirely different meaning, so they had no choice to put certain words in writing and not to actually express those words. And it also depends by Gerim. The Gemara discussed this with reference to Gerim converts. They had a very hard time saying the letter Ches. It's a unique letter in the alphabet. Okay, now let's go. One more very important thing before I conclude. I want to make sure I got everything before I tell you the last thing, the last section. Okay, I think I'm not done with everything. I want to tell you one more important thing. Make sure I got everything. Okay, like you have the same mechalaleha. Mechalaleha mosimus. Mechalaleha. Those who praise it will die. What? A whole different word. Mechalaleha versus mechalaleha. Okay, there. Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. Then we have drashas. Sometimes Chazal use the interchange, the hand, the ches for a drasha. Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. Kodesh Chilulim has to be redeemed. You have to redeem it. Chilul means to redemption. So sometimes Chazal use it to their advantage. They use this idea of the hay and the ches for the purpose of a drasha. Okay, now what? Let's discuss the unusuals. The unusual ches. Where do we have an unusual ches?
The big one.
Chor karpasu sechelus. Where else? Now we don't do this, but there's a tradition. We don't do this. Vayichi Yaakov, the Eretz Mitzrayim shvayes reishana. The ches of Vayichi Yaakov is large. It's not in our tradition, but it's brought down, and it reads because you want to know what real life is about. Ches means chayim, chiyus, right? Chayim is chiyus. Yaakov Avinu was the one who knew what life was all about. Vayichi Yaakov, in fact, as I'll say, Yaakov lemes. Yaakov did not die. That's why the Vayichi, the ches of Vayichi Yaakov, is a large ches. He had the true chiyus. He did not die. But in our tradition, in our service, we do not have a lot of ches. In other words, Chachlili Einayim Miyoyin. The ches of Chachlili, in some, we don't do this, also is a large. I don't know why, but there's a large ches there. Okay, and there's a small ches in the Pasuk in Iyo. There's a small ches of Eov said that I'm free from sin. Chaf anoichi. Chaf means I'm sinless. I'm free from sin. I've not committed any sins. A small ches. I'm not sure. I don't know. I saw different reasons, but nothing really got me to tell over to you that I understood. But let's discuss the big ches. And this is something which is discussed at great length. Chor karpas usicha. What is chor? Chor means white. Material, a certain type of very fine linen that was white. So Achashverosh in the Megillah, he made a party and he took out the clay based on Migdash, and among them were the garments of the Kohanim, and he displayed the chor karpas, different types of colored material, different colors. Chor is white. Karpas, what is the green? It's the green or yellowish. Green or yellowish. Usecheles is blue. And then there was argamon, which was purple. There were four different colors, but chor is white. The ches of chor is very big in the Megillah. Why? Why is it very big? So there are many reasons. One is because that it refers to chet. The sin that the Jewish people committed by partaking of this party to celebrate their demise was such a great sin. Hashem, we were nearly exterminated. And therefore, the ches is very large to allude that at this party where the clay-based hanish were on display, and especially the garments of the kohen and the chor, Hashem was very angry. It was a very great chet. Someone chor also means a hole. Hashem opened up the hole of Gehenim to swallow up Klal Yisrael. If not for the fact that we did tshuva, we would have perished. Also refers to chor, the big day, the eight clothing of the Kohen Gadol were on display. The eight garments are all white, so and they were all chor. The eight garments of the Kohen Gadol were on display. Another reason why there's a large ches is that we can, this all works with a very interesting idea that we connect the ches of chor karpas to secheles, which really is the beginning of the story. There are many beginnings in the Megillah. Vayihi b'Achashverosh Achashverosh, which is one beginning. But if you really want to get into in a certain respect, the real beginning of the Megillah starts when with the party chor karpas to secheles. The end of the Megillah has a very large tuf. Vatichtoiv Esther, that's the end. So a lot of Darshanim connect the tes at the end of the Megillah to the ches in the beginning of the Megillah. Tuf ches. What's tuf ches? So one answer is that was the year, the Jewish year when the story of the Megillah happened. In the year that we're now living in, you know, we say the calendar. Tuf shin ayin gimel. That all that means is the year 773. We're not living in the year 770. That's called the Prat Katan, the small Prat. Well, the Prat Gadol is Hey Alafim. It's Hey Alafim, 5,000, and Tof Shin Ayin Gimel the Prat Katan. The year of the miracle of the Purim story was Gimel Alafim, the third 3,000 Leprat Gadol, and Tof 408 Leprat Katan. So they dated the Megillah with a large Tuf at the end, a large Ches in the beginning, to allude that the year of the story of the Megillah took place in the year Tuf Ches. That's one reason it was a large Ches. Another reason why there's a large Ches is because you take those two letters, Ches and Tuf, read it forward, Ches. Haman was a descendant of Ches, a nation called Ches. What did Rivka say to Yitzchak? Katzti b'chayai mipnei benos Ches. If he's going to marry, if my child Yaakov is going to marry from the benos Ches, lamali chayim. Who was Haman? Haman was a descendant from Ches. They were the worst of the worst. The Bnei Esav, they were the worst of the worst. Ches. You know, there's a Sad Mavart from the Benos Ches. By the Litvaks, I haven't heard this in years, in 100 years, this Vart. But the Litvaks, today it's nonsense, this whole thing, it's not true altogether. But it used to be, in the olden generation, olden days, there was a minog that you go out 8 times till you get engaged. After, have you ever heard this before, in your day? No such thing. It's no such thing. But I don't know. Maybe eight times.
Go eight times. You know why? Because Rav Bix
outside. Oh no! So Satmar Rav used to go out 8 times. This used to be the minig with the Litvaks. The Litvaks used to go out 8 times, and after 8 times, already that's enough. It's already. You like each other to go out 8 times. It's good enough to get married. So you get married. So the Satma, I assume it's the Satma, he didn't like Taruvis. You go with a girl 8 times, you're not engaged. What's going on over here? B'nai Torah. Taruvis, boys and girls. Katzti b'chayai mipnei b'nos ches. I don't like what's going on by the Litvaks. Katzti, the girl, they go out with the girls ches, 8 times. So a big set to him, yeah, you're a Masadir Kiddushin. I'm a Masadir Gitin. The boys and girls only go out once. Pre-arranged shidduchim. Divorce. Very high divorce rate. Pre-arranged shidduchim. It's kedai they should go out at least 8 times to get to know each other to see if they're compatible. So don't say kasi v'chayai mivnei b'nos ches. Let them go out at least 8 times. Maybe you'll prevent a couple of divorces. Okay, but the point is, ches was a nation. Ches was a nation, and they were very evil people. And Haman came. That's why in the Megillah there's a large ches and large tav at the end. It's spelled ches, katzni ches. And one other very, very important reason. This is a very powerful reason. It's a scary reason. Chazal, what's the Gemara? It's Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara says every time Piranus comes to this world, there's always part punishment for the Cheto Egel. The Cheto Egel was never fully forgiven, and every generation Hashem punishes us, He also brings a little punishment for the Cheto Egel. What happened by the Cheto Egel? So we think, oh, we worshiped the Egel, we danced around the Egel. That was not the primary sin. The primary sin of the Cheto Egel was they killed Hor. Chor was the Kohen God, was the Kohen, was, and he said to the people, don't do this. Don't worship the eagle. Don't do this. He got in the way. And what did they do to Chor? They killed him. Aaron said, I'm next. If I don't let them do this, they'll kill me. It'll be then, two Kohanim, Kohen and Novi, B'yom Echad. It's not going to be good. So therefore, he let them do the eagle. So the Iker Chet, Hashem is very generous. Although the Hashem is very tolerant, you can worship with the Zara Hashem, he's tolerant. But to murder someone because you want to do Avodah Zara, so do your Avodah Zara, so go stop him, so go worship Avodah Zara. You don't like what the rabbi says, so do what you want, so go, it's a free world, it's a free country, do what you want. You have to murder the rabbi because he told you not to worship Avodah Zara? There's no excuse for that. So that is really the primary sin of the ego. Chor karpas usecheles. Chor, now came a terrible gzeirah. They were sitting at the party. They're rejoicing. Hashem, I'm going to punish you. Lahashmid, laharog, ulaabid. It's kol ayudim. Minav yadzokim, taf, enoshim, yomechon. Everyone's going to be the killer. When I punish also a little bit for the ego. What about the ego? Chor. Chor literally means white clothing. Clothing that's dyed, linen that's white. But also, Chor is the name of the person who was killed by Bnei Yisrael when they wanted to worship the ego. So the kitroi and the punishment that came upon this generation was because of Chor. And that's why there's a large ches to indicate it's Chor, Chor karpas u'secheles. Okay? One of the last thing, very this the last thing that will stop with this beautiful idea. Another beautiful idea: why Chor? Because the gematria of Chor is 208. How many? When did the miracle? When did the miracle of Chanukah?
Four is six, that's 214.
214. The Gematria, yes. Ches Vav Resh, 214. What was the result of the story of Purim? They built the Bayis Sheni. What happened when they built the Bayis Sheni? What happened 214 years into? You have to remember, it's a very weird to remember the number. 214 years into the Bayis Sheni, after it was constructed, what happened? The miracle of Chanukah miracle. Miracle of Chanukah, we spoke about this. There's a very powerful relationship between the Chanukah miracle and the Purim. People don't talk about this, but they're very well connected. There's a very strong interrelationship. We spoke about this when we learned about Chanukah. I told you, Atilekach Nes Godol HaYasham, that's on the dreidel. What Sham? The miracle of Chanukah. Purim. When you spin the dreidel on Chanukah, Nes Godol HaYasham, back then, at the time of Purim. That's one interpretation of what the word Sham means. It doesn't mean Sham there. It doesn't mean there in Eretz Yisrael. Like an Israeli, Sham means the time of Purim. Nes Godol HaYasham. There's a very... When did it happen? 214 years into the Bayis Sheni. Therefore, this whole miracle that's now going to unfold here in the Megillah is all a hakdama to what's going to happen at the time of the Ivanim in 214 years after the Bayis will be built, and then which will result as a direct consequence of the miracle of Purim. That's why it's two chor. What else? What are the last ideas? Another beautiful idea. 214 is Gematria Zos. Zos, Yovel HaKadosh. What did Hashem say? V'yom Hashem Moshe, Kisov Zos Zikaron Basefer.
Zos is
214.
No,
408. 408. Call. Wait. So what am I going to send over here? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm making a mistake. I'm making a mistake. Not the chur. Tough. The two large letters. Go back to the other part that I told you. I'm sorry. The batichtov with the ches. Batichtov with the ches. So that is 408. That's the gematria zos. Like the two large letters. The two large letters of the Megillah. The ches of chor and the tof of atichtov equals 408. It's the gematria zos. There was a question, should the Megillah be included in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh? Should it be included? Mm-hmm. So what was the end? The end was, yes, it was included. It was included, but it wasn't so easy. So Remez Nira, Hashem told Moshe, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Kesov Zos Zikaron Basefer. Right? The Megillah, Zos. What Zos? The large Tess, the large Tuf, and the Ches. It's a remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking that the story of the Megillah should be recorded in the Sefer, in the Schof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. Okay, we'll stop here.